On April 15, 1987, a cold and rainy Wednesday night, 17-year-old Martha Leanne Green was finishing work as a hostess at the Holiday Inn, located off of Highway 46 in Dixon, Tennessee. Her shift ended around 9 p.m., and her brother Lawson picked her up. He had borrowed their cousin's 1979 Monte Carlo. The distance from the Holiday Inn to their home in White Bluff, Tennessee was only 10 miles away. However, a half mile into their trip, the car ran out of gas. Lawson was able to veer the car off onto the gravel corner of Fabric Road and Highway 46. A family of four pulled up behind them to see if they needed help. Lawson would leave with the family to travel a half mile north to get gas. 9 minutes later, they returned with gas in hand, and Leanne Green was gone. Welcome to Murder at Land Between the Lakes. I am your host, Amelia Courtney, along with Lainey Sullivan. This is Season 3, Unsolved.
Hi, listeners. Welcome back to Murder at Land Between the Lakes, Season 3. I'm Lainey Sullivan, and I'm here with Amelia Courtney, and we are the producers of Murder at Land Between the Lakes. Happy New Year and happy 2024. As you all may know, this podcast is dedicated to the unsolved murders of Carla Atkins and Vicki Stout. At this time, we are letting the FBI and the TBI work on all of the leads and tips that have been generated, many of them by you, the listeners of our podcast. Over the last 4 years, we have received enough calls and conducted enough interviews to get this case back on track where it needs to be. We will be continuing to update you on any information as we are able to on Carla and Vicki, and if there's any help or any questions that we have for you guys, the listeners, we will definitely be asking. But right now, we will not let this case go. Carla and Vicki will not be forgotten. Along with updates on the girls, this season we will be featuring other unsolved cases in or around the Land Between the Lakes area, with the hopes someone out there knows something to help another family get the justice that they have been seeking.
So, Lainey, today we are going to take you to White Bluff, Tennessee. White Bluff is located in Dixon County, about 30 minutes west of Nashville. In 1987, the population was around 2,000 people. And in this city, that is where a 17-year-old girl seemingly vanished into thin air. The temperature on that night was colder than normal for that time of the year, and it was also raining. Around 9 p.m. that evening, the temperature was a brisk 52 degrees. And there was a lot of dew on the ground. And this will become important later, and you'll see why it's important about the dew on the ground. 17-year-old Lawson Green picked up his twin sister, Leanne, from her job at the Holiday Inn. He picked her up at 9 p.m. when her shift had ended.
And then about a half a mile from the Holiday Inn, the Monte Carlo ran out of gas. So that was like a half a mile, not very long. They must have had not that much gas. Lawson guided the car onto the corner of Route 46 and Fabric Road. It was a gravel road where he had parked the car. The two waited. A family of four pulled up behind them to help. This family, the Puckett family, was headed home after Wednesday night church services. According to Detective Breedlove on the WKRN News, Leanne and Dawson were both standing outside of the car when the Pucketts came to offer a ride just down the road to get gas. In Leanne's last conversation with Lawson, she said, "I'm scared." And Lawson said, "Well, come on with me." And she says, "Well, I'll just stay here. Just leave me the keys." The gas station was just about a quarter of a mile down the road. Lawson would leave with the family to get gas. Because it was dark and raining, the headlights of the Monte Carlo could be seen from the gas station. From the time the five people left to the time they returned with gas in hand was approximately 9 minutes. When Lawson and the Pucketts returned, Leanne was gone. The only thing left in the car was her purse and the keys to the car. She had vanished.
Okay, Lainey, now that we've discussed the basics of this case, well, there's really nothing basic about the story at all. I mean, the fact that she just seemingly vanished into thin air. Let's actually just start with the Monte Carlo. Lawson had borrowed that Monte Carlo from their cousin, and if I'm not mistaken, had picked it up the night before. So I guess one of the questions I would have is, was there, you know, not enough gas in the car? Well, we know it ran out of gas, right? So did he know it didn't have gas? And they passed by the gas station to go pick her up at the Holiday Inn, right? So once he picks her up, is he thinking, we'll make it to the gas station? Or is there something more nefarious going on there?
Well, the interesting thing about that, Amelia, is because if you're borrowing a car, you're not familiar with the car. So you would think that one thing you would do is check the amount of gas that's in the car. And if somebody lets you borrow the car, they may tell you there's no gas in the car. You kind of like, no. I mean, I would assume that if you're using a new car that you don't usually drive, that's something you would just take note of to see if you need to put gas in the car, especially since wasn't the reason that they borrowed the car to take to the prom the next night?
That's something I've seen. I'm not 100% sure on that, but I think that might have been one of the reasons. But, you know, these cars were gas guzzlers too. Mm-hmm. But what in my head, when I say nefarious, I don't mean nefarious on Lawson's Inn. What if he did have gas in the car and he got to the Holiday Inn and someone siphoned the gas mm-hmm. and anticipated following them home from the Holiday Inn? And what if someone had been watching Leanne? But there's also so many factors that come into play there as well.
No, I think you're right about that. I don't think Lawson had anything to do with the gas, but I think he would have either noticed that the car needed gas mm-hmm. or the car didn't need gas. And maybe somehow the gas disappeared. As you said, somebody siphoned it out, because there wasn't a long period of time between when they left the Holiday Inn and when they ran out of gas. And you're right, he just passed by the gas station on his way to pick her up from the Holiday Inn.
Right, correct. So they ran out of gas about a half mile away from the Holiday Inn. And where the gas station was, like we even mentioned before, he and the Puckets could see the lights from the Monte Carlo from the gas station. So mm-hmm. it was really close. I guess in hindsight, we wonder why, you know, Leanne didn't just walk with him. The two of them didn't walk to the gas station if it was that close. But it was raining, it was cold, and she obviously wasn't comfortable getting in with the Puckets. So if this is a nice church-going family, Leanne obviously wasn't comfortable with strangers, is my guess.
Yeah, that she wouldn't have just gone with any random person.
No, she was more comfortable sitting in the car and waiting, it seems.
There's also, I think that this is a really key element of this. It was only 9 minutes, approximately 9 minutes, even if they were off a couple minutes. Like, mm-hmm. if it was 8 minutes, if it was 10 minutes, that's not a long period of time for a person to go missing.
Right.
So it just seems like either somebody immediately was able to take her, encourage her out of the car right after they left to go to the gas station, or she left immediately after they went to the gas station. There's not a lot of time to get yourself away from that scene. So it seems like those are kind of two areas, like either she left of her own accord or somebody took her.
Right. And when you say you left on her own accord, I don't think, you know, she decided, like, this is her opportunity to run for it, right? She didn't take her purse with her. Let's go back and talk about when I said the dew was going to come important and was going to be important coming up. The gravel they were parked on was left undisturbed. The dew was still there. There's no evidence. There's not any evidence in the car at all that a struggle happened. So why did Leanne get back out of this car? Was it someone she knew came to her window and told her to come out? How did someone know she was still in the car? That is my biggest question. It was tinted windows in this Monte Carlo. I don't think we've mentioned that yet. So someone had to know she did not get out of that car with Lawson, or she got back in the car mm-hmm. and waited. It couldn't have been, I don't think it was a planned abduction, because, again, they had to account on all these factors. They had to account on the fact that Lawson was going to leave and Leanne was going to stay, unless they intended on taking both of them, or whatever happened to Leanne was going to happen to Lawson as well. So I think there's a lot of factors going into this. And the fact that we talk about, is the car the crime scene? There's no way of knowing, because Lawson waited. He didn't know what else to do. And this was a time, again, we didn't have cell phones. There was nothing, you know, he left. He waited. He didn't know where his sister was. So he went home and told his parents that Leanne was not in the car anymore. And the good news in this case, well, part of the good news was that the police department did immediately take action. They knew something wasn't right. It wasn't like, let's wait and see what happens. They did start searches.
I feel like all of that is so, like, concerning. If you were Lawson or if you were the family, I'm glad that they took action immediately, because we've heard in many cases that's not always the case. The fact that she left her keys and the purse in the car, but yet everything was undisturbed, do you think anybody could have hidden in the back of the car and made her get out as soon as everybody left? Or could have somebody been watching them?
Right. So my daughter brought that one up actually as well, too. I think it's one of those old, you know, tales you hear about someone like in the back of the car. Did Lawson get out of the car when he was at the Holiday Inn? Did someone get in the back? And when Lawson got out, holding Anne hostage. Maybe that one's a little far-fetched. I'm not sure. Mm-hmm. But why was the ground not disturbed? Doesn't look like there was a struggle. She wasn't dragged out of the car. There was no blood. There's nothing to indicate that she was hurt in any way when she was taken from the car. To me, it seems as though she was coaxed out of the car, maybe by someone that she knew. There was a barn that was on the corner of where they were parked at, was on the corner of like Kaiser Road and the highway there, and it was on a gravel lot there, and there was this craft barn there. In this craft barn, Leanne had visited it before, because it was kind of like, I guess, like our modern day Hobby Lobby or Michael's,
like, or a store that sold crafts, right?
I think it had like ribbons and different things. So maybe she, I don't know if she, maybe she went there for safety. Maybe she's talked to someone that saw her. But someone had to know that she didn't get out of that car.
Yeah. And maybe she did get out of the car and go into the craft barn because it was cold and because it was rainy. And she felt safer in a building. I don't know. It's a possibility, right?
Yeah, I guess. There's so many factors here that we need to, you know, check into, but there are so many different theories out there now. And one is Detective Breedlove at the time. He had said that he knew for sure that there were 2 to 3 serial killers in the area at the time. And one of them was known to dress up as a police officer, and that was an easy way to coax women out of their cars. And of course, I'm sure Leanne got out of the car if it was a police officer.
And she wouldn't have taken her purse and her keys.
And she wouldn't have taken her purse and keys. So there's so many different things we're going to go over in the next few episodes, and we can, you know, we can discuss all these theories. And I'm hoping to have, well, we will have a couple of detectives interviewed and on here with us. And we hope to have some interviews with some people that knew Leanne at the time and can give us a better idea. We also know that she didn't want to run away. She had no intentions to run away. Her prom was coming up in a couple of days. She'd been working at the Holiday Inn to save her money. She'd bought herself a beautiful pink dress and pink shoes, and she had everything ready to go. So she was very excited about her prom coming up. And from all accounts of what we've heard, is Leanne was like super popular, really nice girl, and just really well-liked.
Yeah. And do you want to share some of the information, Amelia, that we have just on what she looked like, or what she, like, any details on what she was when we last saw Leanne?
Right. When Leanne went missing, she was wearing a white sweatshirt and mid-calf length faded jeans and white high-top Reebok sneakers. Some of her distinguishing characteristics are, you know, she was a white female with brown hair, green eyes, but ironically, that night, she had on brown contact lenses. So, I don't know.
Which is very interesting, because it wasn't necessarily a common thing in the 80s.
No, I didn't think so. But she did wear brown tinted lenses, and that's what she had on at the time of her disappearance. And many of the agencies have her listed as her eye color being brown and not green. She did have her wisdom teeth removed. She has a birthmark on her chest, and her ears were pierced. Her name is Martha Leanne Green, but she's always gone by Leanne. And as we know, there is an age progression photo of her out there. So we will post that so everybody can take a look and see, you know, if this is somebody they recognize, or if anybody has any information about that night or driving down that highway on that night in April. Maybe you saw something. Maybe you don't know that you saw something and you saw something. That's what it always seems to come back to in the other cases we've covered. People have no idea that they know something.
Mm-hmm. Even if it was a cop that had pulled over a car, or seemingly pulled over a car, there could be information in that. Yeah, and maybe someone else may have witnessed that scene at some point. So if anybody has any information on that, please let us know.
Right. Okay. Again, next episodes, we should have some interviews coming up and a lot of more information. This episode was just to give you the basics and what's to come.
If you have any information on the disappearance of Leanne Green, or you believe you may have some information that would help, please reach out to the Dixon County Sheriff's Office at 615-789-4130. And of course, you can always call myself and Amelia and share any information we will keep confidential at Murder at Land Between the Lakes at 609-559-0214.
Thank you for listening to Murder at Land Between the Lakes. Music by Indie 44. Produced by Discrepancy Podcast. Hosted and edited by Lainey Sullivan and Amelia Courtney.